It is draft week. So let's talk a lot of draft. What is up, Dolphin fans? Welcome to another collective. Like I said, draft week. Thursday is the round one. Friday, two and three, and then Saturday, the rest of the rounds. We're talking a lot of draft today, but we do have to shout out the sponsor real quick, Prize Picks. Go check them out. Later in the show, we are going to talk a little Prize Picks. You play five, you get 50 instantly using that promo code HMA. And if you want to become a member, hit the join next to the subscribe button. You get a ton of cool perks. So, Miami Dolphins picking at 11 and 30, three targets at 11 that we're thinking of. Now, it all depends on who's there. Obviously, I think we all would love certain players at 11, but what are the top three? And should we say top three targets or top three positions?
Well, who are your top three that you hope will be there?
Caleb Downs.
Okay, you want a safety? You would take a safety at 11?
Yes, definitely. Caleb Downs. Maui Noah.
Okay. You know he's got the back issues that
popped up, so he might be there at 11.
He might be a slider. Now, keep in mind, he's played and practiced every single game with the Hurricanes for 3 years. Mm-hmm. So clearly he can play with pain.
And or he hasn't felt pain yet, and the pain's coming.
Yeah,
pain. Sorry.
Yes, and back issues do not get better.
No, they only get worse. Especially for big guys.
Yeah.
Definitely not. That's it. The other ones I don't think realistically will be there.
I mean, you got to give us a name.
I know, that's only two. And
Downs, name!
Downs might not be there. Say my name.
Which one?
Sonny Styles.
But Sonny Styles, make it make sense for me.
It's just the 6'5", 243, the speed, everything that goes with it. It's just I can't pass up on the type of athlete that Sonny Styles is. And, you know, Jordan Love, we still don't know what's going on with Jordan Love. So it'd be nice to have that insurance there and a future at linebacker.
Jordan Brooks.
Oh. Listen, I just woke up. So
I'm like, man, we got something going on. I missed this morning.
But basically, since this big board, you have two guys who are not going to be there and a guy with a bad back. Okay. Yep,
pretty much. Right. Trade down.
There you go. I like guys who are not going to be there either. That's why
I was like, do you want the position or the person?
The guys that you hope you would run to the podium if they were there.
We're not doing positions.
That's not where the Dolphins are. That's just a bad way of looking at it.
David Bailey, I'm hearing he's sliding down board. So if he was there, that's another guy. Pretty much anyone that isn't going to be there, I would run to the board.
Yeah, I don't see the appeal to David Bailey, but hey, the one thing that a lot of my research has shown me is that in this draft, if you do not take an edge in the first two rounds, you are going to be left empty-handed. Mm. And you might not get the edge that you want.
Is it an edge or a defensive end?
Who? What?
And again, why are you fixating on positions when the Dolphins can use anybody at any position?
No, I'm not disagreeing with you, but I think they definitely need somebody who can stop the run. That has to be. You can't draft another Chop Robinson.
That's who he is, in my opinion.
Who, David Bailey? Yeah,
another Chop Robinson.
He's a pass rusher.
Stop it, Allen. I'm talking about he's undersized for the position.
He also has production in college, unlike our friend Chop.
They both
he's
win.
He's playing on a good line too. I mean, they got a good defensive lineman. They got another good edge. They got a linebacker.
Is my memory failing me, or did Chop not play opposite Abdul Carter?
You are correct.
Okay,
yeah.
Oh, erase. But I'm like with Doug. It's like everybody I want's going to be gone by 11, so it's going to be like.
Who do you want?
Sonny South, Caleb Downs, then Mansoor Delane.
So yeah. You're Caleb Downs and Mansoor. Okay.
I mean, one of those guys.
Who do you think is going to take Mansoor Delane?
Could be Casey at nine now that they traded away Trent McDuffie. Could be Washington, which needs help on defense. And I mean, like, bad.
What are the Giants doing at 10?
Giants, what you hear is they'd love to double down with Styles and Downs.
I don't see any reason why they can't. And
well, why would they trade? Why would they draft Downs if they got Javon Holland?
No. don't do that.
Doug was trying to contain himself from laughing there. At the end. He was like,
yeah. Hey, listen, Holland wasn't a bad draft.
No, he wasn't. Or
a bad player. He just was a little overhyped. And so I still think he's a little overhyped.
I like Javon.
Really, right? Outside of 11, it's like, yeah, trade down if you can. I mean, other guys, I'm like warming up to the idea. Again, if they're stuck at 11 and they can't find a trade partner, I'm semi-warming up to the idea of, even though I don't like taking a guard at 11, but in terms of the prospect himself, I'd rather skip Spencer Fano, who does nothing for me, and take Venga Ioane. At 11, even though I don't like necessarily the idea of a guard, I threw out this on MiamiDolphinsOnTheSide.com. Don't sleep on Keldrick Faulk. You want that run stuffing defensive end slash edge defender. There's your guy right there, and he's 20 years old, big body, with a really really high ceiling. I think there's something there. And I saw somebody threw out there, the national writer threw out there this morning, don't be shocked if he winds up in the top 10.
Who's that again?
Keldrick Faulk. I expect him to be in the top 15. He's definitely one of those players that I, you know, because they need a very specific end. Because the whole roster, except for David Ojomu, who hasn't really proven anything in the NFL, none of these guys can play on first and second down. And then you've got the young defensive tackles who have proven they're not very good at stopping the run yet. It's still a work in progress. I like Keldrick Faulk, but I would put Reuben Bain as one of my top three prospects that I hope is there. Yes, I know the small arms. I know he's a T-Rex. You are going to get every single ounce out of Reuben Bain. South Florida is not going to be a distraction to him. He's been here his whole life. It's probably going to mean more to him than anybody else. And he can stop the run.
At UM, he can stop the run. Yes.
At UM, he can stop the run. I don't think there's, I mean, okay. So at Auburn, Keldrick Faulk can stop the run. At Texas Tech, David Bailey can stop the run. At
David Texas Bailey was always the best rusher.
Huh?
David Bailey was more, but again, they have traits that project. David Bailey's some of the issues with the idea of slipping also might go two to the Jets is because the uber athleticism that allowed him to get all those sacks might be counteracted a little bit once you get to the NFL against NFL offensive.
Oh, absolutely. No question. And
that's the issue there.
So, Alan, real quick though, question ahead. About Keldrick Faulk. Does the lack of production worry you?
Not as much as it would if a guy was strictly a pass rusher. Like Chop Robinson was a pass rusher and didn't get sacks at Penn State. Keldrick Faulk is like an all-around type of defensive end.
Okay.
Where it's not about – and he had 7 sacks in 2024. So under the right circumstances, I don't think he's ever going to be a double-digit sack guy.
Okay.
But that's not why you're drafting him. And here's the thing about – and again, this is why – it's all over the map. I've seen mocks where somebody's sending him to the Dolphins at 30.
Mm.
And then this morning, some national guy, I don't remember who it was, has him in the top 10. So there's like a wide range of predicted outcomes for him.
Yeah, I gotta agree with you. If I had to run to the podium, excuse me, but this guy is probably still going to be there. It is Keldrick Faulk. He can set the edge. There's no question about it. He's not going to get bullied by tackles in this league because his strength is his strength. And we need a guy opposite of Chop Robinson, like the makeup. But what nobody really talking about with Kedrick Falk is the fact that this man going to be playing in the NFL at the age of 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be turning 21 later in the year, but he's young. He still has more upside than people want to claim, given his age. So he can actually turn into a formidable guy to actually be a staple in this franchise for a long time. So Kedrick Falk for me. Then I'm going to go Mekhi Lemon. I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to go with Mekhi Lemon because I think we need to get our guy a weapon. And Jordan Tyson is a little too far. I think you can he's going to be early teens. You'll be reaching for him. But I like Mekhi Lemon. And then Jermaine McCoy, locked down the corner position. Another guy who's young, literally the same age as Falk in the same month, if I'm not mistaken. 20 years old. I mean, these guys have a lot of upside and the future's bright. So those are the guys that I would actually look at 11. If nobody we love is there and we got to pick, I would swing at guys like that.
I will point out there's a national draft analyst who reported that some teams have red flagged McCoy because of his knee.
I was going to say, let's preference what TD said that we have to pick. Because obviously with like Jermaine McCoy, we would probably like to trade down a little bit and take him if possible.
You guys remember Will Johnson from last year's draft where he just tanked and slid down the board because of a
second
knee
round,
issue?
Right? He went?
I don't remember. But and how can you with good conscience take a guy coming off a knee injury? Not knowing how he cuts, how he moves. And he can work out, and that's cool and great, but when a receiver is opposite you, it's not the same thing. That's why Mansoor Delane, for me, is the one player that I covet the most in this draft. It's just a sure thing. I look at that as a sure thing. Then I go with Vega, the Penn State offensive guard. It's a safe selection. These are players that I can plug and play. I just think they're absolutely safe. They're going to contribute right away. Reliable, consistent. And I know I mentioned Reuben Bain. I'm okay if they don't select him or if they do select him. I just think it's going to be very hard for you to get a pass rusher of his caliber in day two or day three.
Then you get him in 2027.
Yeah, okay.
Or then you tell Chop to start getting to the quarterback.
That's true. I would like to mention one guy that it's not at 11, but definitely at 30 is Casey Concepcion, the wide receiver from Texas A&M. He doesn't give you the size that you want, but God dog it, he's a dog and he's a playmaker and he's a return guy. He can immediately come in and add a little bit of juice to your offense.
Might not be there at 30.
I don't think he's gonna be there at
30. Yeah. If he is, that's a must. That's a must for me. But do y'all have a correlation? Do y'all ever weigh in age with injuries? Like if it's a 23-year-old coming out of college fresh off of an injury versus a 20-year-old with a coming off of injury, does it matter?
Not if it's a knee that some are worried is a degenerative condition.
Okay. The thing about the time bomb on the knee.
And you can't. And I've said this many times, and I'm going to keep saying it until draft night, is the Dolphins are not in a position where they can take a gamble on a player. Their prospect, their topic has to be clean, as far as I'm concerned.
I don't disagree with you, and I think John Eric Sullivan kind of agrees with you as well. He talked about hitting that double off the wall. Stop. Don't try to hit that home run, which when he said that at the press conference last week, I was like, okay, we're going Vega. We're going absolute double. No swinging for the fence. Give me somebody, that can be an immediate starter and a very good player. And if Vega is the player that a lot of people think he is, he's going to be. I've always said this in the first round. I want to draft a guy where I'm going to have to fight to not give him $100 million. Like if I and that's why Chop Robinson, I never thought a day in my life that I'd have to give him $100 million. No offense. Javon Holland, never thought. you know, Jalen Phillips, you always saw, you always,
yeah, yeah,
it's
spurts.
Oh, yeah. It looks the way it's supposed to look. Mm. Like it absolutely looks the way it's supposed to look. It just, you know,
a little bit of a tease though.
He's a major tease, no question about it.
He'll get there, and then he either overshoots or he just can't finish. He can't make the tackle.
Keeps you in suspense.
Come on.
That's who he was.
I remember that Jets game where he was. That the one where he tore his Achilles.
Oh God!
Man, was he about the but just you could see the glow, and he was about to just blow up, and then mm-hmm.
He was on a tear too. He'd be
And what year was that?
No pun intended.
He was playing. Yeah.
That was the cursed year of injuries in 2023.
Yep.
And it was on Hard Knocks, and you just heard how hurt he was, not physically. Just emotionally, that he just was like, because he knew it. He felt that he knew it, just like we're saying. Like he was like, I'm in a groove. I'm in a groove. And then the turf got him.
Woo, he was smoking.
I mean, we were playing the Jets though. So,
Tim Boyle.
Our friend Tim Boyle.
But to piggyback off of what Omar said, that double off the wall. Yeah, I could see like Vega and maybe even TJ Parker at 30, just trenches. And
TJ Parker.
Solid guys. I like TJ Parker at 30. 6 sacks this year, 12 last year.
Yeah.
He's 6'3", so he's not the tallest.
I can't remember if he's a guy who could do edge, who could set the edge.
But let's talk about the trade. I know it's not a Dolphin topic, but I got a little flack online on Twitter. Because I think that the Bengals got fleeced a little bit. I think the Giants won that trade. I don't know, man.
No, hell no.
I don't know. You got to pay him.
He's a dude.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you. I have no idea where people are like the Bengals got fleeced. First of all, it's one of the worst defense for several years in the NFL. You talk about an offense that's ready to win a Super Bowl if their defense was together. And this guy has no flaw in his game and what he does. He pushes the pile. He gets to the quarterback. He stuffs the run. He does every single thing. Like, he is your wish list of a defensive tackle. And at an elite level with that edge, he has that it, you know, that players that's to not be named don't have. But, yeah, man, I don't get it. This was like the Bengals. Think about it. I don't care how good these players are in the top 10 coming out. Any of them going to be better than him? There's no guarantee. Even if they're really good, it still may not be better than what he is. And the Bengals don't have time to play games. They got to go after it.
See, my whole thing, though, is I don't see the Bengals as a defensive tackle away. And I guess that's where my understanding is, because how many times do we see Joe Burrow running for his life, getting sacked over and over again? And so I get Dexter Lawrence is a great talent, right? But to me, it's just I didn't think they were a defensive tackle.
How many games did they lose the past 2 years scoring 30 points or more?
I know, exactly. But don't you want Joe Burrow to make it through a season?
Yeah, I mean, that's important too. But
I mean, you don't have to get an offensive lineman in round one. There are rounds where actual good evaluating teams can actually get an offensive lineman. It's not us, but, there are others who could do it.
It's in the past.
Yeah.
Looking ahead.
Here's the thing. Dexter Lawrence, there's nobody in this draft that's Dexter Lawrence.
No.
So – it's like, and it, I'm doing something right now on Devon Achane. Everybody's, Jeremiah sucking up this Jeremiah Love guy, thinking he's the best thing since sliced bread.
Jeez Louise.
If he
really
apparently everybody but you, Omar. Apparently every
bro, show me. Like, I want his offensive lineman.
Off of what he said.
I want his offensive lineman. That's what I want. I want some Notre Dame offensive lineman, because I haven't seen a play where his hole isn't massive and he's and not.
Unless,
making,
but unless they're all, geez, that's they're all I don't even know that they have one. That they have one top prospect in this year's draft on the offensive line, unless they're all underclassmen.
Yeah, they must be all underclassmen. I mean, you got two backs that are rated the one and two backs at one team. Come on, man! Like,
you think it's all because of the offense? And by the way, if we want to play that game,
oh my god,
One of the best offensive lines in college football last year was UM, where they're just not just Mawinawa, but it's Markel Bell, it's Brockemeyer at center, it's Cooper at right guard, who are all legit.
Listen, offensive line fuels everything. But my point of bringing him up is, if teams are willing to trade up and give up a first-round pick for Jeremiah Love, why wouldn't you give up a first-round pick for Devon Achane? Why wouldn't you? I know the money is a fact, but it's a running back. It's, what are you talking? $35 million in guaranteed money? 36, 37? Like, if you want an impactful player and you're thinking about trading up to get into the top 10 to take Jeremiah Love, why wouldn't you just offer your draft pick to Miami for Devon Achane?
Because you have Jeremiah Love for 5 years at a very good price, as opposed to having the
What? So if they offered the first round pick for Achane and we took it, who would you draft at three?
Oh, nobody's offering you three. I'm not delusional. Like, nobody's offering
you three. I thought that's what you were referring to.
Nobody's offering you three. I'm saying somebody could offer you, you know, half the teams that need backs, unfortunately, are not drafting very high. So, you know, I don't think there's but – you know, I used to think that a top 50 pick gets you Devon Achane. Now I think the price is a little even more because you're moving up for Jeremiah Love. Jeremiah Love probably is not going to accomplish what Devon Achane has already accomplished in his first 3 years. Like, set an NFL record.
Go back. What do you think? What kind of market do you think there would have been for Bijan Robinson a couple of years ago, or for Saquon Barkley when he came out?
Or that, Gibbs when he came out. Yeah, I mean,
Gibbs wasn't quite the same because Gibbs was a bit on the smaller side, even though he's just like beep beep fast. But these other two guys were like the whole package with the can't miss tag, which is what, whether you like it or not, all the draft analysts say about Jeremiah Love.
Okay. Even Lewis Riddick loves him.
If that's not enough to convince you, nothing will.
I watch and look, see 7 yards downfield before anybody even touches him. I need somebody who could do a little dirty work.
Somebody needs to bring up analytics and what his like percentage of breaking tackles was.
Yeah, I always have to see a guy in that pressure, not big holes and breaking tackles, because Achane, I was skeptical about until last year where he had to break tackles and he went through them. Achane is the top three back in the league, in my opinion, now.
I wouldn't argue against you because I see, like, when you add up the numbers and you stack it up, it's, you know, it's 1,500 rushing yards. It's 15 all-purpose yards. It's 809 touchdowns as rookie. It's NFL record yards per carry.
1,800 it's, all-purpose.
Yeah, second season. Yeah, 1,500 for his second season. I mean, that Achane ain't playing. This is some serious production.
He's been all right. It's a joke for anybody out there who thinks I'm serious.
Before we get to the next two topics, TD, what are you thinking about with this Prize Picks? You got anything lined up? You got any?
Yeah, man. It's been NBA season, ladies and gentlemen. If you haven't gotten into it, then you're missing out. The playoffs have begun in the world of the NBA. For all y'all, I know a lot of y'all are football fans, but we're in the offseason right now. And I'm not going to put nothing on who's getting drafted and all of that good stuff. But what I do have is my lineup set up for tonight. And you know what I learned the sweet spot is? Just take 3 to 4 players. You know, I'm always going for the 6th pick and missing out on 2. Like, oh, go for the 3 to 4 players, and your probability is a lot higher. So tonight I got Brandon Ingram over 21.5 points. Jalen Brunson over 27. It's playoff time. He got to show up. And Jokic, man, I always count on him when it matters, and he usually produces. So 28.5. And you know what? I'm very modest on prize picks. A quick $5 win me 30. Y'all see these gas prices? That's going to put some gas in the tank. So, yeah, man, if y'all want to tell these picks, make sure you go on the prize pick, but you got to use code HMA, okay? And when you use code HMA, you're going to get $50 instantly if you play $5, okay? So play your $5, you're going to get $50 instantly and ball out and have some fun with it. And those who are wondering if it's available in your state, it's available in many states now, including Florida, Texas, California, and so many more. So check it out. Get in the action. Supporting our sponsors is supporting the channel. Shout out to Prize Picks.
And they also have draft stuff as well. And I put in, so you could do who you think is getting taken at certain spots. So I think David Bailey is going to the Jets at 2. I think Jeremiah Love, who we were just talking about, I think he's going to the Giants. That's what I think is going to happen there. Then you also can put who will or won't be drafted top 10, top 5. You can do all that pick. So I think Arvell Reese, obviously, he's going top 5. But I don't think Carnell Tate or Reuben Bain Jr. are going top 5. So
You sure Arvell Reese might not be going number 2 to the Jets?
We'll see. But, yeah, definitely go check out Prize Picks. Super, super fun.
Breaking news in the NFL. Breaking news. Dallas Cowboys signing kicker Brandon Aubrey to a record contract for kickers. 4 years, $28 million, $20 million guaranteed.
Okay. $7 million a year. Well, how much guaranteed?
$20 million.
Oh, so you got 3 years guaranteed.
Like
the real money.
He did good last year, right?
Yeah.
Is that the one who knocked in the 60s?
That's all he does. I mean, he's just the guy's a freak.
His long was 64. Yeah. 60. Yeah. Then 2024, his long was 65. And then 2023, his long was 60.
That's Jeez. Game changer. You can be on your opposite 45 and be all right. That is crazy.
His field goal percentage last year was 85.7, 2024 was 85.1.
Wow, he on the sideline, like, kick the ball off. Just give me 15 yards, Dak. Just give me 15 yards, and we good. That's crazy.
That's what man. I want, man. Give me some of those field goal kickers. Jeez Louise. So how far would you trade down? Now, again, we need to preference this by saying you have to have a trade partner. Because every year when the draft comes and the Dolphins will take whoever at 11 that some people don't want, you always hear, I should have traded down. First, you got to get the picks, and two, you have to have the partner. So I guess it all depends on, like, who's there. Like, obviously, somebody slides. Say Jeremiah Love, since we're on his topic. He's there at 11. Who trades up for Jeremiah Love? How far down would you go? How about this? I got a better question. I got, like, 900 of them in my head. Who's there at 11 that you won't take, but somebody will definitely trade up for?
Carnell Tate.
Mekhi Lemon, all these teams that be in the arms race for the wide receivers. Mm-hmm. Those are usually the teams that love to trade up and go get a guy and make the fan base happy. It's those wide receivers. So Tate is one of them.
Jeremiah Love, in the insanely unlikely event he's there at 11. Somebody. Folks would be
there. He's gonna be there at 11.
He's not gonna be there at 11. Did you say he will?
Yeah.
You think Jeremiah Love is gonna be there at 11?
Yeah, I said what I said.
Okay.
I said what I said.
Hey.
There are so few teams that actually need running back help.
Okay.
I just don't see the market for it.
He doesn't make it past 7.
Who trades up? So say a wide receiver's the Tampa Bay. They don't have Mike Evans anymore. Maybe they trade up for a wide receiver.
Doug, we did this last week. It's 25 teams that need another wide receiver. It's 25.
30 for a spot to trade down if Ty Simpson's still on the board.
Yeah, that's the spot. That is definitely the spot because everyone wants to get in front of the Jets.
And not only that, teams want to get that fifth year option for their quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we need to draft him.
No, stop.
Yeah, let me, because.
Man, I don't want to trade out of 30. That's the fifth year option.
Man, that pick is going to be valuable. I never thought about that.
A fifth year option on a wide receiver, that's huge. If you're going wide receiver at that pick, if one of those guys on the board, to me, it has to be 11.
TD, if Arizona offers you its 2027 first round pick for number 30, you don't think about it with the better than 50% chance that Arizona's
slow head turn.
That's kind of Jacoby Brissett is this starter. I'm like, you can offer me whatever you want. I'm taking it.
So real quick, this is what the expert, Mel Kiper, mocked, right? Uh-huh. So he has the Dolphins taking Mansoor Delane at 11. And then at 30, he has the Dolphins trading out with the Arizona Cardinals.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the Cardinals are sending 34 and 65. And the Dolphins are sending 30 and 94. So their last third round pick becomes the first overall pick in the third round. And they get 34.
Arizona takes Ty Simpson. It's not a great return for
See, that's different from the 2027 first. That's totally different.
And then, so with that trade, the Dolphins take Bernard, wide receiver out of Alabama, at 34. And then at 43, they take TJ Parker. So your first three picks are Mansoor Delane, Bernard, wide receiver, TJ Parker, defensive end. That's what Mel Kiper. But who the hell is Mel Kiper anyway?
Mel Kiper, go sit down.
I would like to point out that there are seven teams in this draft that actually have a glaring need for a running back, which is one of the thinnest positions in this draft. Titans, Commanders, Bengals, Vikings, Jaguars, Seahawks, and Broncos. I mentioned this because I don't see any of those teams enticing me with anything for Devon Achane. Maybe Washington, but yeah, no. It's a no.
So I have a curious question about this running back situation. Pick number 30. Nobody's trading with you. What if Love is on the board at 30?
Love? Jeremiah Love?
Yeah. Say he does this slide that you keep talking about. What if he's on the board at 30? What do you do?
What if Fernando Mendoza's on the board at 30? What should the Dolphins do?
Hey, I'm playing Omar's game. Omar, no, don't believe.
I didn't say it was going to slide to 30. I didn't say it was going to slide to 30.
What are we doing?
Yeah. I'm just saying that I don't think there's going to be such a demand for him. If he gets past Tennessee and Commanders, that guy could free fall. Like, free fall.
To 30. Like,
Not 30, but free fall. Some team's going to trade up to come get him, but Vikings at 18, probably some team try to get ahead of the Vikings, but yeah, he can fall.
So let's poll the audience. 617 in here. I'm asking the chat now as I'm looking at you guys. Jeremiah Love sitting there at 11. The Dolphins take him. Would you be upset, chat, if the Dolphins took Jeremiah Love at 11? Let me know in the chat.
Okay. Let's
see what they say.
Does that mean that I'm trading Devon Achane for what?
All right. Yeah, absolutely. And saving $17 million a year. Far.
Huh?
Yes, 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 yes. Don't like it. No, yes, no, yes. I say O-line 11, LMAO, yes, no, 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 yes, very, no, no, yes, build the line out, yes, 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 makes zero sense. So a majority
of one back plays at a time.
I would say a majority, 11 Achane in the backfield. I feel like a majority of the fan base would not be happy with it. No, no, hell no.
I wouldn't be mad.
You, what would your thoughts be, TD?
I would be shocked. That would be
a TD loves him a playmaker. TD can't help himself.
It's not. Well, I mean, the only benefit in all of that is saving money. That's it. And when you, if you give Achane a contract right now, it's not going to hurt you for the long term, you know, foresight of the team. So that's why I don't have a problem with Achane being on this team and not trading him. But if you make a move like that, that's mind blowing. I didn't think we needed to save cash that much for the next 2 years. Mm. So that's why I'm like, whoa. No, it's just something that just wouldn't happen because you got you can invest in another position.
Yeah. One running back plays at a time. You've got three that are young, talented players. Achane is clearly one of the NFL's difference maker, and let's say he's a top 100 player in this league. Why would you do that when you've got a zillion other needs?
Yeah, and you want to go get a weapon? Go get one of those receivers at 11 or Sadiq. Mm. We should have got online. That's fine. At least we got something that we needed and could help our quarterbacks. So yeah,
tight end is the quarterback's, you know,
best.
Yeah, you know that pick is actually intriguing to me with Sadiq. I would not be shocked if we all just the Dolphins took Sadiq at 11.
Here's the thing. He's a glorified receiver. And he's a Mike Gesicki all over again.
Ooh.
He's okay. He's a try hard blocker, but he's not an inline guy. And
he's not a volleyball player like Mike Gesicki was with all due.
Okay, he's not a soft little
basketball player. Why do you have to go there, Omar?
Hey, he blocked me, so you could say whatever you want about
him. Bro, he blocked everybody before the draft had finished. We were blocked.
He didn't block me.
He got drafted, and he blocked us all. And I was like, okay, soft. All right. And lo and behold, what, 6 years, 5 years later, soft.
Well, that's so, not Sadiq.
You want to hear the strengths of Sadiq?
Yes.
Elite athletic profile, 6'5", 255 with basketball background, mismatch weapon who can align anywhere on the formation, excellent vertical athleticism to high point contested catches, strong blocking ability, allows three down usage, smooth route runner who creates separation versus linebacker and safety, good body control and adjustment skills, dangerous after the catch, versatile enough to play inline slot or split wide, clear tight end one. Now, here are his weaknesses. Concentration drops remain occasional issue. Narrow catch radius that some elite tight ends prospects. Route precision is still developing. Contested catch ability requires some projection. Limited experience working against press as a big slot. Some blocking inconsistencies in extended reps and still adding fundamental mass to compete against NFL linebackers.
Sounds good to me.
Where did you get your scouting report? Because I have him here on the NFL.com draft profile page at 6'3", 241.
Stick to the model.
Either way, consensus. Sound good to me.
Not 6'3", 241.
6'3", 245. But yes, I would go with what Poupart is saying, and I think the NFL.com, what's his name? He's one of the best.
Lance Zierlein, and those are taken off the combine.
What are the negatives for according to Zierlein?
Oh, you want me? Hold on. Let me put on my reading glasses here. Let's try to look intellectual.
I know Zierlein. I'm about to get some reading glasses.
Zierlein, a hater, man.
Here we go. Show some drift in his feet on zone beater routes. Inconsistent catch focus on throws above his numbers. Average acceleration and pop into contact as a lead blocker. Defensive ends will play across his face when he's based up. Needs to avoid leaning as a point of attack blocker.
Ah, that's petty stuff.
To me, you draft the tight end at number 11.
No. Yeah,
he better be Gronk. And I know I gotten some flack because some people say, well, if he becomes Shannon Sharp, okay. At number N, to me, Shannon Sharp was like a seventh round pick. He was a college wide receiver. Who became a great NFL player, no doubt, but not somebody, not the physical characteristics of somebody you take 11th overall.
Let me ask one question to all three of you. Who's a player that you would absolutely lose your mind if the Dolphins drafted at 11?
Like
in a bad way?
It's like a Chris Greer pick?
Yes, just like, what were we thinking? And you better not see Ty Simpson.
Say Omar Kelly, defensive back from Carroll City High School.
Jeremiah Love falls into that category for me. Like, like what?
I know. What? So it'd be like somebody that is like projected like
high,
like D'Angelo Ponce, right? Like, I know he has great upside, but 5'9" at 11.
You gotta drop him gray for the size.
I know, but Doug, that's not living in a real world. There's no real world where he gets
that's something Chris Greer would do. Chris Greer used to take guys who weren't available, like that were projected way further down.
Nah,
Austin Jackson. You're telling me Austin Jackson was
Austin Jackson was the last of five for projected.
But was he valued at the 18th overall pick?
He was valued as a borderline first round pick. Yes.
Who valued that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, I don't know.
Everybody, all the drafts.
So Austin Jackson wasn't a reach at 18.
He was a reach at 18, but he was one of five. As Omar said, he was one of five offensive tackles projected to go in the first round.
Noah Igbinoghene, was that a reach?
Oh, absolutely.
That's what I'm saying.
Absolutely. No, but Noah Igbinoghene, and that's put on Chris Greer, but that was a Brian Flores selection.
Hey, I have it on my soundboard, but I have my soundboard plugged in. It's my call.
Brian Flores had to have Noah Igbinoghene, and then when Noah turned out to be a flop and it was on Brian Flores' name, he abused him consistently.
That's where I would lose my mind if, you know, we take somebody that you're just like, he's not even projected. Now, obviously, projections are one, you know, who the hell knows, you know, what these, but that's where, because there's so many times that I've seen like, oh, look, there's, you know, four or five prospects sitting there. Pick one of them. They should have went, you know, eight picks ahead, and we take the guy who three picks. You know what I'm saying? And you're just like again, we take Liam Eikenberg while Creed Humphreys was sitting there. You know, we traded up
for Liam Eikenberg because you desperately needed the offensive guard. You were running out.
Creed Humphreys. You had run on guard. There's like so many of them available.
Wasn't Justin Jefferson available?
And no, Austin Jackson.
Yes, he was.
And Austin Jackson.
And Austin Jackson was taken, yes.
Okay, TD, my answer would be, I wouldn't like go ballistic, but I would be like, ooh, and that would be McCoy because of that knee.
Yeah. You
cannot take that kind of risk at 12. I mean, 11, sorry.
Am I tripping if I say the person that I'll be like, what is Mesidor?
No, I could see that.
I like him, but he's not a first-round talent. And everybody who projects him as a first-round talent, he's old. He's 25, and he's small. He's not that big. I definitely like him. He would definitely be a second-round target for me. But I see everybody projecting him as a first-round talent. And see, look at me talking negatively about the Canes. And I don't mean to talk negatively about the Canes. But
hater. You're a hater.
I don't love every Cane, Poupard, like you
was
claim.
Was Mesidor's production because he had Bane on the other side?
No.
Yeah, them guys operated individually on that line.
Because he had 13 sacks, which...
He's a good player.
I'm going to stick your nose up at, you know?
Yeah, he's a good player. I just don't see him as a first round pick. I would
not even at 30 if they take Mesidor.
No, I'm not using a first round pick on Mesidor. Like him, think he absolutely a second round pick. 25, durability absolutely questionable. Saw a lot of soft tissue injuries, and then he's not my ideal size. He's just not.
Yeah. Dude, he's like basically the same dimensions as Reuben Bain.
I understand that, but I've seen Reuben Bain dominate.
Okay, so it's not an issue of size then.
I'm dying. My daughter got me sick, and you guys are killing me up here. so what position And Alan brings this up a lot, and it's a very valid question. What position can we leave the draft without? So Alan talks about pass rusher. You know, we don't need to reach for these pass rushers, especially because, you know, but here's the thing, though. We could sit here and talk about, 2027, the quarterbacks, 2027. This year we're supposed to be the quarterbacks, you know? So, you know, there's a lot of those projections of, next year is, you know, deep with X, Y, and Z. And then things change. But what in this draft can we leave without? For me, it's like tight end. I don't mind if we leave without a tight end. It'd be nice to take one, but I'm okay with leaving without a tight end. Obviously, like defensive tackle, we don't need one. Tackle, I'm fine if we run with Paul and Austin Jackson and then, you know, have the depth there.
You need a backup.
I know, but I'm okay with leaving without one. If we do double down at corner, wide receiver, guard, you know, quarterback, I'm okay if we don't draft a quarterback, even though.
We want what we want.
I want that. You know who I want.
I know. I want him too. I want him too.
But yeah, like those are the guys that, you know, it's not a lot because we need a lot, but there's a few positions that are, and linebacker. I'm okay if we don't take a linebacker, even though Rodriguez. I mean Rodriguez. T, we'll go the other way. Who are you okay with leaving the draft without?
If you can get one in the first or the second round, which you probably don't want one in the first, but if you can't use that second round pick on the guard, skip it.
Mm.
Skip it altogether. Don't waste my third round picks on a hope and a prayer at the guard position. I want to
solidify fifth round guard. The guard. You could develop a fifth round guard.
What I'm saying is, that's a position where we need to stop playing games and we need to solidify. Instead of develop, you know, get you a guy. And if you can't, then that needs to be a top priority next year.
You mean get you a guy in free agency? Or how?
Get you a guy in the draft. In that second round pick at 43, if there's a guard you love, I would. Because, we're going to keep on playing these games at the position.
I love offensive line play. I love the trenches. I don't see a second round talent. Outside there are three offensive linemen that I would select in the first round. Everybody else you could wait. And everybody else can run to the podium and get them. I'm good. It's I would rather invest a lot of picks in the third day on offensive linemen and develop those players, because offensive line is a position where you have to develop. You have to learn master technique and fundamentals. I am not overdrafting one. I only reason I say Vega is because it's clean. It's polished. It's like buying an 83 Thunderbird. It's just, you know.
So if Emmanuel's on the board at 43, you're not taking him? Like, I would lose my mind if they didn't do that. I would probably lose one unless they take a receiver.
You mean the you're talking about the Oregon.
Pregnon. I'm saying Emmanuel Pregnon.
So you're hoping Pregnon will deliver for the Dolphins?
Yeah. Yeah, Pregnon.
Why, Omar, did you get it? You're the only
one. I did get it.
Deliver. Yeah, it did.
Yeah. I'm used to your cheesy humor.
Speaking of it, Alan, who could you leave the draft without?
What?
I always look at it as a 2-year rebuilding project. They're not going to fill every hole they have, even with seven picks in the top 94, unless they go they bat 7 for 7, which would be amazing but unrealistic. So, I think I agree with TD on that one. If they don't come out of this draft with a guard, not the end of the world. I agree with you. If they don't come out of this draft with a tight end, it's not the end of the world. I would very much for them to the secondary sooner rather than later. A defensive end, not edge rusher, a defensive end, a complete defensive end. It'd be nice to get one in this draft. Wide receiver, I'm not sure. I know this position isn't very popular because we got to make it easy for Malik. Otherwise, there's no way we can evaluate him. BS.
Stop it. But, stop.
if they don't get a wide receiver, it's not the end of the world as we know it, and we feel fine. Go ahead, TD.
It's not the end of the world if you don't get a wide receiver.
Yes, no, it's not the end of the world if they don't walk out of this draft with a wide receiver in the first two rounds.
Man, the Dolphins will need to be charged with neglect if they don't get a wide receiver from the league. Why are you going to go to war with these three guys that are we?
You're not winning anyway in 2020.
You don't believe in Taj Washington, Theo Weiss?
Yeah, y'all need
y'all need to stop.
And you forgot Jalen Tolbert, Terrace Marshall Jr.
Y'all need to stop.
Yeah, Terrace Marshall Jr., man, that was a stud back in the day at LSU.
It just
didn't pan out for him. You know
what I mean? Omar, who could you leave the draft with? What position?
I'm okay if they could wait on tight end. I could wait for the waiver wire on that. Definitely don't draft a running back. I could leave the draft without a quarterback. I would prefer not to, especially – considering I need an athletic quarterback. There are very few with that profile. Go get one. My biggest concern entering this draft is defensive end. Not necessarily edge, defensive end. There's a finite number of those guys that are in this draft. And if you do not race to go get them at 11, 30, or your first pick in the fourth round or first pick in the second round, you are not going to have one. So to me, and I'm okay with throwing players against the wall at that position to see what sticks if I don't get what I want.
See, I'm scared of that. Just getting the edge to say I got one.
Yeah. No. I didn't say draft pick. I'm talking about people, unemployed people who
like AJ Espinosa,
who need AJ work, like Emmanuel Ogbas of the world, like because
he's still out there, I believe.
Yeah, he's always gonna be out there. Like Emmanuel doesn't sign until like training camp's over.
Good point.
He's like, oh crap, I gotta go to work. Who am I playing for? Who wants me? RC said, Omar, are you watching the draft at Tootsie's, Booby Trap, or The Office? Your thoughts on trading the first pick?
If I had to choose, I would watch the draft at Booby Trap, which is where I watched the national championship game. Thoughts on trading that first pick? I'm fine with it. I would actually even trade up. I'm one of the few people who would trade up. I think that Mansoor Delane is going to be that dog, and I would go get him.
But what would you be willing to sacrifice, though? Like, what is that additional pick that you're willing to give up to go up?
Whatever the numbers say, in terms of trade value, I don't think it's a second. But if I got a trade, I just want him. I think he's going to be a difference maker. And I get it. Halfley feels like he can develop cornerbacks. And, you know, all these coaches always have these specialties that they think they can just magically make. And I'm fine with it. Go for it.
We had a head coach who was a quarterback whisperer that didn't work out so great. By the way, not more breaking news. The Indianapolis Colts started their offseason program on Monday, as did every team with their returning head coach. This is when they can start. And there was their GM revealed that two players who have requested – trades
cornerback
anymore and quarterback Anthony Richardson were not.
Who was the first one?
Kenny Moore, the cornerback.
Kenny Moore.
He's very, very good. He's not for the Dolphins where they are as an organization. I think we do this earlier in the offseason. Anybody would want to throw a sixth or seventh round pick to the Colts for Anthony Richardson?
No, because he's on a 5-year of his contract.
Okay. That's fair.
And same thing with Will Levis. I'm good.
Okay.
Even though he's beaten out the starting quarterback here already.
Oh, man. Yeah, Malik Willis is probably going, no, don't bring him in. Don't bring him in.
Yeah.
Don't bring him in. Don't bring him in.
I'm kidding, TD. TD's like, y'all be taking a
y'all
shot.
Y'all just hating on Malik, man. Hey, y'all going to be shocked this year. Y'all are going to be shocked.
I hope so.
I want to be.
Malik is here, man.
Shout out to the Proud Boomer for hitting that join button. Appreciate you.
Nice.
Cap said, okay, did we get the official rule in place there, Alan, gets to thump? Thump. Ty Simpson's name out of TD's mouth every time he says it. Please say yes.
Yes.
Hey, hey y'all.
Hey, Bobby, hitting that join button. We appreciate you. Bane and Delane both available at 11. Who do you take, Delane? Yeah, you take Mansoor.
I'm not sure there's anybody I don't take Delane over. Can't name you one.
RJ said draft week with the dream team, judgy bastards.
Merch, gotta get merch.
Mm-hmm. Blaze said Takaro Davis, Eli Raridan, Cole Wisniewski. Thoughts.
Related to Steve Wisniewski. I know Raridan is the tight end from Notre Dame, who, if memory
serves, down the road from me,
had a lot of like injury issues early in his career, I believe was the book on him. But kind of a rare athlete. Again, in the later rounds, if you want to take a shot on a guy like that, sure, why not? I saw Takaro Davis's name today as somebody who really liked him. I don't know, Cole Wisniewski. I'm curious if he's related to Steve Wisniewski.
Takaro Davis. I don't even know who he was, if I'm being honest with you.
I think he's – is he naming offensive guards?
No,
6'4", tall corner, Takaro Davis.
Oh.
Okay. Yep, that was him.
That's a big corner.
Cole is a safety with Texas Tech.
Yep.
Those are what? You're looking at like third,
fourth. And I don't have thoughts, honestly, on those guys. Cole and those guys, I don't have. I've never really done any work on those guys.
Mm-hmm.
20 million guaranteed. You hit 60-yard field goals, you're going to get 20 million guaranteed.
Wisniewski is projected as a – God, dug it.
Looks like it's the son of Steve Wisniewski.
As a seventh-round pick.
Golden Thumb said, if Dallas can't land Styles, possible trade – 12 to Miami for 30 Brooks and a third. Oh,
fifth round pick.
That's a wild card that we're not talking about. Brooks still could be a part of something.
I think it's too late for that. Unless Dallas strikes out on what they're trying to do.
Correct. If they strike out for Sonny Styles.
Yeah.
No, he's not related to Steve Wisniewski. Sorry. I take that back.
Andre said, why didn't anyone stop Flo from drafting Hunter Long?
That I was surprised Hunter Long didn't hit.
He's still in the NFL.
I know.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's like a third team tight end.
RJ said, Doug, I'm cracking up over LOL. Omar is obvious. Omar, I don't know if you caught this before, but I was losing my mind at some of the things you were saying.
I'm sure.
I think you're talking about Jeremiah Love, and you talked about how big his holes were, and I just lost it.
Jesus.
Don't get the obsession with Tate. I'll pass on him.
Same here.
Yeah. I'm not a fan, but if he's there at 11 and I'm out of desirable options, I could pull the trigger. He's going to be a nice complimentary number two. I'm still going to have to go get an alpha.
Go get his partner next year.
Yeah, I'd be bad enough.
Mark with the tenor said, poop, Mendoza, elite traits, intelligence, accuracy, toughness, work ethic, mythic traits, Jesus, red zone efficiency, 29 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. You want someone to run a great 40. I want someone to run a great offense.
When did I say I want someone to run a great 40? As my quarterback, when did I say that? Mendoza, elite traits. Okay, maybe I look at him and I don't see special. And I think somebody maybe on here like threw out Andrew Luck as a comp, and I was like, really seriously?
Very clean prospect. Very, very, very clean.
From where I sit,
he's
a clean prospect, not special.
Okay.
And I saw, and there's another comp today that I saw was Matt Ryan.
Okay. Matt Ryan is a great comp for him, except he's a little bit more mobile than Matt Ryan.
and Matt Ryan was not
special. I saw Matt Ryan for the first time at the owners meeting, and I was shocked at how big he is. Oh, he's a legit 6'4". And I've seen nothing but small quarterbacks in my time here. Like Matt Ryan was like 6'4", like legit.
Daniel's a big dude. I hate to break it to you. Daniel was a big dude. Don't give me that
okay. Goal. All right.
The goal.
He plays.
Miracle said kicker, center, punter are the most important positions on the field. Pay them.
That's funny.
I'm not kicking a pick.
Zach said, Omar, one take I don't like is that Tate isn't a wide receiver one at Ohio State. Neither was Abuka, but he is going to be great. I'm not saying Tate is stellar, just bad logic.
That's cool.
Was JSN even the number one at Ohio State, or was it?
I don't have a big issue about him not being a number one at Ohio State. My big issue is him on press. It's not pretty. And wide receivers who struggle to get off press coverage, which is a lost art in the NFL, but Dolphins are getting back to it. They're not high on my list.
AD Dan said, "Why is no one talking about Haynes King, quarterback, Georgia Tech, ACC Player of the Year? Look at his numbers and metrics."
Okay.
ACC Player about him. Period. Forget just us.
I haven't even.
Let's see.
George
Haynes King, 6'3", 215. 12 games played. He had 69 completion percentage, 2,900 passing yards. Yards per attempt was 8. Touchdowns, 14. Interceptions, 6. Passer rating, 99.1.
He's projected as a priority undrafted free agent.
That's why no one's talking about him.
Lone Star said Twitter blocks are the only ones Mike can make.
Wow. Damn.
It came out of nowhere, too. It's not even like, at least with Bradley Chubb, I said something that he probably was like, "You're a jerk," and blocked me. Gizicki, I didn't even like communicate.
He searched his name on Twitter the day of the draft, and did he go on a block spree?
Yep.
And
he's a big baby. Shadow Fate said, "You guys were into quarterback Green Friday a month ago." Omar said he doesn't have wiggle, he just runs in a straight line. This still the same feeling. If I had to choose between the two, I'd probably go with Cole Payton, but I'm not upset if they take Green later on.
I'm riding with you. I'm more of a Cole Payton than a Green. A Green, just the accuracy is just not there. You could work on it all. He's not shaking you. He's just he's like Tannehill. He's a straight line runner.
I take Green fifth round and beyond in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm. All right, Cole, a little more now.
Keys on my mind said, "Need a mock from Poop Art. You gonna write one?
Check out Miami Dolphins on SI. You want a Dolphins specific mock or you want a full first round NFL mock?
Seven. I want a 7-round Miami Dolphins. Seven,
because I'm sorry. You get the fifth or sixth round, and then all everybody's doing is this.
All right. I want 4 rounds Miami Dolphins, and I want some type of credit for telling you to do it.
Brought to you by Dougley Durong.
Call of Duty. I like the name. Will there ever be a player's contract completely paid in Bitcoin? What's your favorite snack during the draft? When I'm not live streaming, pizza and wings. When I'm live streaming, nothing, because I'm pretty sure you don't want to hear me munching into this microphone right into your ears. Just pretzels and peanuts right to your ears.
We are fed very well on draft day. We used to be fed the same food as the executives and whatever, but now I think we probably are still fed this
draft weekend spread's very, very impressive.
The draft weekend spread is very, very impressive.
Are you guys at the facility
during the draft? And they end it with a cake. That's we get our annual cake. I'm looking forward to it. It's vanilla and chocolates, one of those split layers. Sure. Ice
cream with those.
You can have my slice of more since I don't do cake anymore. So you can have my slice if you want it.
TD, what are you eating?
Whatever they're serving at the draft. I don't know.
Are you live streaming from the draft?
Yeah.
Good luck with that, man.
Hopefully you got. No, we did it last year. It was cool. It was all good. But
you going to Pittsburgh or a draft party?
Pittsburgh.
Well, okay.
You going to be in the crowd or are you going to?
No. It's the media room with Radio Row, and when the player's done, like an hour after they get drafted, they come into like a green room where we can interview and do all that stuff. So nice. Hopefully I can. Yeah. But is there any player in particular that'll be good to interview on Wednesday? Because we all the first round prospects, they usually have like a charity flag football game and we get to talk to them. So I want to be able to talk to who we think we're going to draft.
I want to see you talk to Mekhi Lemon again. I want to see. I want to see that interview. Was that just a one day thing where he was Kubiak staring the whole time?
That was at the combine, right?
Yeah, man. If you're not into film and you don't know what the Kubrick stare is, they do it in Clockwork Orange, they did it in The Shining, and they did it in Full Metal Jacket. It's where you look down and you look through your eyebrows.
Yeah,
the entire time.
Yeah, I've seen all three of those movies.
Keys on My Mind said for Omar, the 26 Keldrick Floor comp is Calais Campbell.
Don't do that. No.
You can have a comp except that Calais Campbell is 6'8 and like
280. Nah, don't do that.
Is he really 6'8?
Yeah.
He's a large man. Hell yeah.
He's a hell of a human being. Huge.
Jeez, I know that.
Yes. He's a mammoth of a man. Yes. And
that's crazy.
6'8", 315. Yeah.
They should sign him. Bring him back. You need some leadership.
Why would he possibly want to do that?
You're correct. Other than continue his career. I'm telling you, man.
Somebody will want him, and he'll sign some with somebody in June.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. When he's ready to play, he'll get a job.
Do we have $5 million?
We don't technically, not right now. But you're right. You're correct.
We gotta wait for the paycheck to come in on June 2nd, and then we'll have some money. But we're out of here, guys. We haven't decided what the heck is going on for the rest of the week. It's busy, if you can't tell. It's draft week. Well,
Friday, we're clearly doing morning.
Yeah. We're going to react to the first round, talk about that. But outside of that, you know, TD's heading to Pittsburgh. You have Omar and Alan are going to be writing their articles, super busy. I will be here doing my thing. So we'll keep you updated. If anything, it might be a Wednesday night live stream preview for the draft.
Yeah, didn't we say we're gonna do another mock?
Yeah, so one last might be mock. Like a Wednesday 7 show again. I think that works. You do two mornings and a night, like right in between. Nice little mountain. I think that works. Yeah. So lookity out. I'm gonna go lay back down. I got 4 hours of sleep. I'm gonna go lay back down.
Lookity out. All right, lookity out.
Lookity out. Oh my God. Leave it to Beaver. Just what am I? A 1940s.
I know that's sleep deprivation.
Go check out Omar Kelly. He's on the Miami Herald. Great articles. Alan Poupart, Miami Dolphins on SI. That mock draft. They want it. Go check out.
Look. Yeah. Tua Tagovailoa. We ain't mentioned him on the show, so I just wanted to say his name.
Okay. Check out TD, youtube.com/TDFinsTalk. AUC's Roundtable Sports. Like he said, they will be at the draft. Go support, and you can check me out here. And also youtube.com/DougLeeDorong. I will be live Thursday and Friday, not at the start of it because I have two children now, but I will be live. So we will see you guys probably Wednesday. But other than that, peace out, Cub Scout.